Bless them, Lord. Praise the Lord.
I have a friend of mine called this morning, and she said that her sister just found out that she had colon cancer. She said to remember her in prayer. And I always stand in need of prayer this morning.
I just had to try to remember it. She said, "Is your sister Carolyn?"
Doris.
Is your sister?
It's just a friend of mine. Doris Stewart.
You know, it depends on how strong they are.
Yeah.
They depend on how strong they are. They're very strong.
I got some.
She can't wear mine.
Oh,
no.
Hey, I know I'm playing.
I was going to say, well, now you're going to play.
She can't see through mine either, because mine's...
She can't see. They got bifocals.
Mine's bifocals.
I got some contacts going on.
Yeah. destination, heaven. And I know we're near the one we believe, but we ain't there yet, but praise God, over the next hill. I'm looking forward to being home. Hallelujah. Good singing, girls. Good song.
You don't need the mic, do you?
No, I don't need no mic, brother. Old street preacher. All right. Good to see Brother Denny. Sister Sue here this morning. Good to see all of you here this morning. Amen. On this cold. I must be a Baptist for sure. I thought, well, as cold as it is this morning, probably won't be nobody there. God done blow me away. I'm scared to count them. I never seen this many people. Hallelujah. This little church getting bigger by the minute.
That's good.
Praise the Lord. Yeah. Yeah, it's good. Hallelujah. I was telling this morning Sunday school, I'm just a little preacher. Part of a little work. But we're getting a little bigger with this little recorder right here because it sends it out a little further. So we're able to lengthen our branches. We're able to lengthen our tent stakes. We're able to take in more ground. And I praise the Lord for that. This is October the 13th. Next Sunday is October the 20th. And if nothing hadn't changed, my understanding is we're going after the service next Sunday. And I don't have affirmation on this, but my understanding is last what I heard was going to Ryan. Is that still true?
Yeah.
Amen. And my son called me yesterday and said, come over, I'm going to cook you a steak. I showed right up. Yes, sir. And I'll tell you right now about that, but it's good. And had steak, fried taters, had some kind of rolls. I don't know, they paint them with butter, that's good. Had some kind of cake with dip over it. But I'll tell you, I'm all about eating, amen. I love to eat. Not only God make it where I had to eat, He made it where I can enjoy it while I was doing it. I'll tell you right now. I'll say this, and I know y'all heard me say this many times before. I'm afraid to eat anything in this day and time without turning thanks over. I mean, this earth's been cursed because of Adam.
Yeah.
It's been cursed because of Cain.
Yes.
No telling how many more farmers have cursed it. But I'll tell you one thing. When God cursed it, it's different. But I'm afraid to eat anything that I don't say, Lord, I want you to bless it.
Yeah.
I can't prove this. I ain't a doctor. And I ain't that smart neither. But I think a lot of things that we serve is because we don't turn thanks over what we eat. Amen. So make sure you thank the Lord and ask Him to put His blessing on what you eat. But I'm all about eating. I don't know how to stay so small. My wife, she said, how do you do it? I said, I must have a tapeworm longer than I-65. I don't know one. I just love to eat. Somebody else stay small. I don't know. But next Sunday, we're having pastor appreciation. I just appreciate they're able to put up with me. But they want to have a pastor appreciation meal next Sunday.
Yes.
And if you're able to be here, would like to say I would invite you to be here, but it's more their doing than it is mine. Well, I'll tell you right now, this little old church, we don't plan on staying little. We plan on growing. One day it may be a big work here. I don't know if we'll live that long or not, but one day it may be a big work here. Amen. We had a lady show up from Nashville a while back. I told them, Denny and Sue, they drive from Nashville up here. That's a long ways to drive, but praise God, I'm glad they're willing to do it.
Amen.
Amen. Always glad to see them. Amen. Let's turn in our good old King James Bible to Ephesians chapter 2. The reason I talk so much this morning, I got about three messages on my mind, and man, I just ain't smart enough to know which one to go with, so I've been stalling up here kind of hoping the Lord, like a cop, would say, boy, go with that right there.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with this message right here. I hope, kind of like my brother David Epps, he said I'm too far in to back out now, but I hope this is the one the Lord would have us to hear today. One thing about the Bible, it's instruction in righteousness, and we need instruction. I don't know how many things I've tried to put together, Brother Mark, and I realized I had to get the instructions out. him and Miranda had a mishap, and she got the worst end of it. Had to take and put some stitches in her finger. But, you know, follow the instructions. And first thing I thought of was that time I cut the tip of that finger off. I thought, boy, I had my saw off too. It wasn't noon. But I set my finger on that board, and I didn't believe it was still turning. And and it was glad to show me it was sharp. And I looked down there at my fingertip, and I thought, well, it could have been worse. I can still use it, amen. Ain't got no feeling in it, but I can still use it. Well, I'm going to cut out the chatter. Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to read the first 10 verses. They have nothing whatsoever to do with this message. I hope you get what I'm saying there. But I'll be able to draw some points through what I'm going to be reading. But anyway, Paul here writing to the church at Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1, and you, talking about you and me, and you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past. Miranda kind of mentioned a little bit about that here a minute ago. In the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. But God, someone said Ephesians is like the Grand Canyon of the Bible. I like this verse. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, have quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, have raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might shew the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace ye are saved. I'm sorry, for by grace are you saved through faith.
Amen.
That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, I told you this text didn't have nothing to do with this message, and yet it does a little bit. But I'm preaching today on contradictions. And you have to bear with me. I hope the Lord will help me. But I'm preaching today on contradictions. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for this beautiful day You've given us to gather in Your house. I thank You, Father, for Your great love, Your great mercy. I thank You, Father, Lord, that You was willing, Lord, to love us. And willing, Lord, to forgive us, willing to save us by Your grace. Lord, help us, dear God, today. Lord, in this message, I so desire to please You. Lord, in this message, I need Your help. I pray You'll give me clarity of thought. I pray for the Holy Spirit's unction. I pray for the anointing of God. I pray for these that are before me, that they'll be able to understand the depths of Your great love.
Yeah.
Lord, the long-suffering of Your love. Help us, I pray. We'll give You praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I'm preaching today on contradictions. Now, I wanted to title this message, How to Save a Soul from Hell the Hard Way. And you can't get that much title on the website, so I just summed it up as contradictions. I'm trying today to reach people that are unreachable. And there were contradictions in Jesus' day, and there are contradictions today. Amen. Jesus stepped down from heaven itself to give His life a ransom for all to be saved.
Yes, amen.
And some people say that there's other ways. Some people say, that I'll go my way, or that's what you say, not what I say. And we have today a lot of contradictions, and stay with me because it's going to take me a little while to get where I'm going. But these contradictions they contrast one another. They're opposites, like north and south, like positive and negative.
Yeah.
They're contradictions. They oppose one another. But there was no other way than the way that Jesus did for us to be saved. So bear with me here just a minute. The Bible said in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. Now the Bible said in Isaiah 45:22-23, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for there's no salvation in any other besides me. And I'll paraphrase that just a little bit. But it says there's no other way to be saved but by me.
Amen.
So to some people, that would be a little bit of a contradiction.
Right.
I do want to clarify what I just said there. I hate to hatchet the Word of God when, praise God, we need it so much.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bible says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there's none else. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. Surely one shall say, in the Lord I have righteousness and strength, even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. And in the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. I just want you to know that reference there of Isaiah 45 is a reference to Jesus. Even though the name of Jesus is not mentioned, when you look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 through 11, talks about God had given Jesus, magnified his name above all names, that at the name of Jesus,
yes,
every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God our Father. And also in Romans 14:11, that unto him every knee will bow. And even though it doesn't make this reference, I guarantee there will be some knees bowed at the great white throne judgment mentioned in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 through 15, when John said, I saw a great white throne and him that sat upon it, from whose face the heaven and earth fled away, and there was found no place for them. I saw the small and great stand before God, and the books were opened. They were judged by those things written in those books. Death and hell gave up those which were in them, and the sea gave up those. I can see old Ben Laden come up out of the sea. They couldn't even find no place to bury him, Miranda. Nobody would have him.
Yeah.
So they just dumped him in the sea.
Yeah, right.
And the sea gave up those which were in them, and they were judged. I'll tell you what, buddy. There's going to be a lot of knees bowed.
Right.
There's going to be a lot of people burnt in and going to say, I'm sorry, but it's going to be too late to say, I'm sorry.
Amen.
God probably, amen, and say, yeah, you are sorry. But I'll tell you what, you've got to be sorry and saved. I'm sorry. But praise God, I'm saved too. Amen. I know what I'm talking about today. The Bible says a lot of things about humanity, and I'm going to touch on them here in a minute. But in these contradictions, how to save a soul from hell. And when I say that, your depravity is mentioned here in the Bible. And we were without hope. And that is mentioned in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. We were without hope. We were without God in this world. And we were aliens and strangers from the covenants of promise.
Yeah.
In other words, we wasn't included. We had no hope, no help. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. We were doomed to spend eternity in hell with the devil. And somebody said, what do you mean spend eternity in the hell of the devil? Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. Jesus said, pardon me, you accursed, unto the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels.
Yeah.
Hell was not made for us.
Right.
God made heaven for us. God went through hell to give us a home in heaven. But I want you to know that hell is not our home.
Right.
Yeah, a lot of people are going to spend eternity there.
Yeah.
They won't let God. They're too smart for God.
Yeah.
They're too big for God in their own eyes. But anyway, your depravity. The Bible said in Adam, all die. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22. We're in this dilemma right here. Our depravity is this right here. None good, no, not one. None righteous, no, not one. All of sin comes short of the glory of God. I just want you to know that we're in depravity apart from Christ. Your dilemma, we can't redeem ourselves nor give God a ransom for any. Psalms 49, verse 7. You know, when I think about redemption, that means a price has to be paid.
Yeah.
And that price has to be accepted. So if I was to redeem something, I'd have to be able to come up with the money that was demanded, and it would have to be accepted, and then I could redeem it. It's kind of like we don't have enough money. We don't have any means to redeem ourselves. We can't redeem no one else. I pray a lot of prayers. God's the only one that can pardon anyone. But can you imagine being on death row, serving a life sentence? Mm. Somebody come down the hall. Pardon us! Does anyone want a pardon? I've got pardons! And somebody stick a hand out. Brother Izzy, I'll take one. Somebody like me had no sense, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
somebody says,
"That's right.
I don't want a pardon. I'm a man's man. I can handle this." I see one guy, he had a tattoo on his arm, said, "Born to lose." Rick said, we was in the jail ministry. Rick said, "Buddy, you can get another and born again." And he said, "You can win." But, most people, they don't want a pardon. They don't want your prayers. I guess it was last night at prayer meeting, Brother Ivan said last night, said that they got so bad, he said, "We don't want your prayers. We don't want your thoughts in your prayers." Boy, I tell you what, that's pretty bad when you turn down thoughts and prayers. Amen. Yeah, right. I think all the prayers you want to give away. Any prayer you don't, prayer you got to give away, I'll take it. Amen.
That's right.
Oh, wow, we've come down to a sad day. People say, "I don't want your thoughts and prayers." They need them. But can you imagine being on death row and turning down your own pardon? Now, I'll be all right. I got a plan. You better have one. Notice verse 8 of Psalms 49. "For the redemption of their soul is precious." In other words, you don't have anything precious. It's what's required. Peter told us about it in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. "That we weren't redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lamb of God." I'll tell you right now, that's how precious it is. The Bible mentions about our condition in Isaiah 46, verse 6, "Our righteousness is filthy rags." Can you imagine offering God used toilet paper as a bargaining chip for your sins? See, filthy rags is something in conjunction with that Paul talked about. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Benjamin, concerning the law, blameless, a Pharisee, and all of that. He said, I threw it away as dung for Christ. He said it had no value. I just want you to know it cost something to be redeemed. Amen.
Yeah, amen.
Oh my, I'm going somewhere. It's taking me a little while to get there. But when I get there, we'll understand what contradiction is all about.
Amen.
Oh my, your depravity, you have none, no means. Your dilemma, you can't redeem yourself. Your deliverance, let me tell you this, Jesus sets captives free. Luke 4:18. When Jesus sets a captive free, they're free indeed. John 8:36. Let me say, this slave to sin was freed 31 years ago. I couldn't help myself. I couldn't change myself. I couldn't stop myself. I'll tell you right now, God hadn't done something. I just had to keep living a life of sin. It was bigger than me. I was in the bondage of sin. I was in the shackles of sin. I was a prisoner of sin. Some of you were too. Can you imagine getting saved before you got in over your head in sin and saying, "Lord, save me, I'm sinking, I'm going down for the third time"? But most of us got to get in that capacity before we're even willing to admit we need help or even ask for help. But Jesus, He sets captives free, amen. But not only has this slave been freed from the bondage of sin, it wasn't easy. Now, when I said I'm preaching about the contradiction or contradictions, I'm actually talking about that contradiction of sinners against himself, Hebrews 12:3, that he had to endure. He had to endure such contradictions of sinners against himself. Even though he came to seek and to save that which was lost, even though he came, Jesus, Paul said, of a true Christ Jesus came this world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. Even though that was his mission, even though he started at an early age in the work that God sent him to do,
yes,
he had to endure such contradiction to sinners.
Amen.
In other words, if Miranda was trying to do something, and I kept trying to keep her from doing it, she said, get out of my way, I've got to do this. And I kept talking, she said, I ain't got time to talk. And I said, well, hold on a minute. She said, I ain't got time. I've got to do what I got to do.
Yeah.
Jesus told his parents, he said, no, you're not. I must be about my father's business. They must have thought he was trying to be a smart at it. You know, I was a little bit smart at it. My mom and dad, they slapped me down. I got up. And it wouldn't do one up or down. Better not do that.
Right.
After you pick yourself out of flowing up, you learn, you get smarter than smart at it. I learned to just keep my mouth shut. I wasn't really sure what I was doing, Laura. I wasn't sure exactly what I was doing, but I realized I was doing something wrong, so I kept picking myself up out of the floor. And even though I didn't realize what I was doing, I was being smart at it. They'd tell me to do something, instead of keeping my mouth shut and doing it, Larry, I'd open up my mouth, and I'd say something I shouldn't have said, and they was quick to bring my attention. I'd be better off kept my mouth shut, you know what I mean? Well, anyway, I kind of like that. And you know, Jesus come down here, and in the work that he had to do, he told his parents, he said, no, you're not. I must be about my father's business. His parents was contradicting his word.
Amen.
12 years old.
Yeah.
They said, we saw thee sorrowing. His own parents, buddy.
Amen.
They didn't understand it.
No. Amen.
He picked 12 men. They didn't understand it.
Amen.
Man.
That's right.
I don't know if he picked the worst of the worst or what.
Amen.
Can you imagine if he picked 12 better than them? I don't know if there was any better, but they just kept getting in the way.
Yeah,
right. He said, I'm not let you go. He said, give thee behind me, Satan.
Yes. Right.
Now, a savior is not the place to be of God. Just a lot of contradictions. Everything he did, they just couldn't figure him out. They thought, what manner of man is this?
Yeah.
That's
right.
And, you know, if that wasn't enough, when he was born, Herod, you know, the wise men come seeking him. Yeah. Where is he born, King of the Jews? We've seen his star. There's a whole lot more than that meets the eye.
Amen.
You know much Bible. Abraham had a lot of children after Sarah passed away. But his covenant son, Isaac, he gave all of these other children, you know, he gave them a bunch of wealth and cattle and silver and gold. Guess where he sent them, Satan? He sent them to the east.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, from the east. Yeah, he sent them to the east. Where did them wise men come? From the east?
Yeah.
Let's do the math on that. What? Why are they seeking? If you're here at Sunday school lesson this morning, God said, I know him. He'll teach his household after him, and they'll keep the way of the Lord. They've been looking for something. Somebody had told them about a king of a Jew is going to be born one day, and they said, we've seen his star. We've come seeking him.
Yeah.
King Herod, he said, well, go find him. When you find him, bring me word. And let me see where I was going with that. Well, I get all entangled here. When Herod sent him looking for him, when he found him, the angel told him to go home another way. Not to bring that word back to Herod because he'd take the child's life. Now, a little child, 2 years old, pretty vulnerable. But he was sought by King Herod. And King Herod was trying to contradict this virgin-born Son of God. God, the one who's going to give his only begotten Son for you and me to be saved. I just want you to know Herod wasn't in he was contradicting the plan of God. He said, I'm king. Nobody's going to take my throne. That's a lot of you and me.
Right.
But anyway, let me say this. God told Joseph to take the young child and his mother down to Egypt. But Mark, he did. And then God said, he that sought these dead, come back. And Joseph, I guess he's like you and me, he's a little bit afraid. He didn't go back to Jerusalem. He went to Nazareth, so he might be called a Nazarene. But I'll tell you right now, buddy, there was a lot of contradictions concerning Jesus being born, concerning Jesus doing the work of his Father, concerning him finishing his work. Like I said, those 12, that they got in the way, they couldn't understand who he was. They couldn't understand the work he's doing. And then here come that religious crowd like today. You know, I know I get a little bit political every now and then, and I hate to. But you know, today they're contradicting the Democrats and Please don't hold this against me. Make your own decision who you're going to vote for. Don't let me influence you in any way that I'm just making a comment here, a statement here. Have you noticed how they contradict everything our president does? They accuse him of everything under the sun. And I thought about it. I thought, wow, that's kind of like what Jesus had to endure. Yeah. He had to endure such contradiction of sinners against himself. I don't know how he got anything done. Amen.
Amen.
The religious crowd would show up and they'd say, he casted out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus said, how can Satan cast out Satan? I mean, he was pretty quick to give them an answer.
Yeah,
man.
Right.
And even though they didn't have an answer back, I'll tell you right now, buddy, they come to him and, you know, Herod tried to kill him when he was 2 years old, Carolyn.
Yeah.
You know what they told him? They said, I think it's Luke 13, but anyway, they said, Herod will kill me. He said, you go tell that fox I cast out devils.
Yeah.
I do cures
today
and tomorrow.
Amen.
And he said, on the third day I'll be perfected.
That's right.
He wasn't no pushover, amen.
That's right. Amen.
He said, you go get him, bud.
Right.
I got this. Yeah.
Yeah.
But during such contradiction of sinners against himself, the work that had to be done, he is the only one that could do it.
That's right.
Set his face like a flint, the Bible says. He never did ever get distracted. He never did ever get... He may have got discouraged, but it's not recorded. I don't know how in the world he did all the things he endured. And you know, he just kept right on in the work that God has sent him to do. Now as he's working, man, he's healing blind, lepers. He's healing the lame.
Right.
Man, he's unstopping deaf ears. He's opened eyes of the blind. Everybody's marveling.
Amen.
But they still contradict him. They still won't give the glory to anyone that's got anything at all to do with him. They just question everything he does. And he's still working.
That's right. Amen.
He was threatened all through his whole ministry. They thought that they were smarter than him. They thought they was better than him.
Right.
John 8, they said, we be not born of fornication. See, they couldn't understand all this. If he's born of fornication, I'll tell you right now, we ain't got no reason at all to go to a fellowship meal next Sunday. We're all just one step from grave and hell. But I'm glad, praise God, he wasn't born of fornication. God gave a promise. He said, I'll give you a sign. A virgin will conceive and bear a son, and you call his name Emmanuel, being interpreted God with us. Paul said, great's the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, believed on in the world, seen of angels. I tell you right now, but it's a great mystery. That's one reason they did contradict him. They couldn't understand him. They couldn't do nothing with him. And all through his whole ministry, they dogged him. All through his whole ministry, they thought to lay hands on him. All through his whole ministry, they thought some way to stop him. Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
This ain't got a thing at all to do with this message. I'm going to throw it out there anyway. This week I saw where someone made this comment, said they wished they had a dollar bill for every six there is. He said, if I did, he said, they say there's 27. He said, I'd have $2 bills and a bunch of counterfeits. Amen. I mean, that's the contradiction that I'm talking about here. We're contradicting God's creation.
That's right.
If you're anything but what God made you, you need to read Isaiah chapter 45, verse 9. And verse 10, and you need to make sure that you want that woe upon you because it's not going to be good. Don't contradict the creation. Don't contradict your Creator. I'll tell you right now, acknowledge that it's He that made us, not we ourselves. It's He that saved us, not we ourselves. Don't contradict the Creator or the creation. Amen.
That's right.
Amen. Brother Ed shared with me before y'all got here this morning about a young girl that brought something other than evolution to school, and
my
they failed her. Contradicted. The contradiction today still goes on.
Yes.
They say something contrary to what God says. They call it tolerance, diversity. They call it hate speech if I speak against it. Why is it hate speech? Why do I speak against it?
Right.
Hello?
Right. That's true.
Amen.
Well, Jesus come down here, and even with all the contradictions, James, he stayed right on course.
Yep. Right.
Even with all the contradictions against himself, Sue, he made it to Calvary.
Yeah.
That's right.
His own disciple, Judas, betrayed him. Peter denied him. The rest of them forsook him. And he stayed right on course.
All right.
And in Pilate's judgment hall, in Herod's judgment hall, in the Sanhedrin judgment hall, he never did ever contradict what he came this world to do. Matter of fact, Pilate even marveled that he said not a word. Led like a lamb to the slaughter, Isaiah 53 says. He never opened his mouth. He never did ever contradicted what he came to do. And when they put that crown of thorns on his head, but didn't he? Even though he had the power to tell 12 legions, angels put crowns on their head just like the ones they put on my head, he never did. Even though they beat him unrecognizable, his vest is marred more than any man, he wished no vengeance upon him.
That's right.
I'm kind of like that Barabbas. Got to go free.
Right.
I got to go free. He took my place.
Mm-hmm.
Took my punishment.
Yes, he did.
But I tell you what, he stayed on course. And against such contradiction of sinners against himself, he endured all of that.
That's right.
Because Miranda,
amen.
If he hadn't, we'd have no hope.
That's right.
We'd have no help. Only hell to look forward to instead of heaven. But he never contradicted all of the things they done to him. And the last thing, one of the soldiers walked by the cross after they'd done crucified him, after they'd done mocked and made fun of him. If thou be the Christ, come down and we'll believe on him. If he came down, forget it. He had to stay on the cross.
Right.
He couldn't contradict the plan.
That's right.
You know, he wanted people to believe on him, but soon if he came down from the cross, the price couldn't be paid for our redemption.
That's right.
But against those contradictions of sinners, one of them walked up there, little Denny, with a sword pierced his side, fulfilling the prophecy of Zechariah. They'll look upon me whom they pierced. You know what Jesus said?
Mm-hmm.
No man takes my life.
That's right.
I'll lay, he's already
laid
it
down.
I'll lay it down.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
They didn't kill him.
No.
If they could have, they would have.
That's right.
But he said, no man takes my life. He said, I'll lay it down. He laid it down so we'd have one, praise God, to take up.
Yes.
I was dead in trespasses and sins.
Right.
Even though I was alive at the age of 34 years old, I was full of dead man's bones.
Yes.
I was just a corpse.
Right.
I'm telling you, living a lie. Praise God, he made me whole.
Yes.
I am alive now, amen.
Yeah.
Somebody said in that John chapter 4, there's a woman come to give a drink, and he said there's one there wanting to give her a drink. So one come to get, and the other come to give. And that woman left the water pot because she didn't need no more of that water. Praise God, she became a well. Amen.
Yeah.
But listen, he didn't contradict what he was come to do. They contradicted him. They accused him. They mocked him. They lied about him. They wanted to stone him. But yet he finished his mission. Amen.
Right.
He went all the way. Because if he hadn't went all the way, this would be a contradiction.
That's right.
Amen.
That's very true.
He said, "Lo, I come in the volume of the book. It's written of me."
Yeah, amen.
All through here.
That's right.
In types and similarities and parables,
yeah.
and illustrations. It's hard for a lot of people to even comprehend. He's all through here. He's paralleled by men like Joseph. Paralleled all through here, men like David, Joshua, Moses. Moses said, "A prophet shall the Lord you shall the Lord your God raise up like of me. Him you'll hear." He's paralleled all through that Bible, and yet none can parallel him. But pictures of him are all through there, pointing like a compass to the day that he come into this world, to the day when he would ascend up into the heavens. As the Galilean stood by gazing, and the angel said, "Why stand you here gazing up in the heavens? This same Jesus, as you see going up, shall one day return." Yeah. He's coming back! And I tell you what, he's talking about contradictions. I don't know if I'll get a chance to say it or not. I do know they sung the song, and in a moment, twinkling an eye, we'll leave it out. If I do, I'm going to say, "I told you so!" I was going to sit down here. Amen. It seems like with computers and technology and stuff, they've got the advantage, but I hate to bust a bubble. God's still on the throne.
Yes, he is.
He still got the final. I give up if y'all wasn't on the throne. He's got the final say. Man, that keeps winning my sales. That keeps me going. That keeps my mind where it needs to be to realize we're more than conquerors through Him. Yeah. Even though they throw everything but the kitchen sink at Him, He rose up triumphant over the grave. He said, "I am He that was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, and I got the keys." Amen. Against such contradiction of sinners against Himself.
Yeah.
He still showed this world.
Yeah.
Amen.
That He is God. They made it hard on Him, Brother James. He made it easy on us.
That's right.
He said, "Let him that's first come."
Yeah.
"Let him that's a hunger come. Let all come. Take a water life freely." Amen. They got a thing now they're teaching just certain people can be saved. He gave His life a ransom for all, didn't He?
That's right.
The Dennys can be saved. And the Eddies can be saved.
That's right.
And the Sue's can be saved.
Right.
And the Rita's can be saved. We can all be saved because He completed His mission. Just like God said, He'd send His Son into this world, and His Son would give His life a ransom for all. Amen. Amen. Praise God, we can all be saved. Thanks to Calvary, amen. That precious blood. You know, the greatest contradictor there is the devil.
Yeah.
And even the devil couldn't handle this.
No.
The Bible said if the princes of this world had known, they wouldn't have crucified.
That's right.
Glory, glory. The devil's even included in the plan. Ain't that something, Randy?
Easy on that one.
He said, the Bible says that the devil entered into Judas. I get the wrong hand? Oh, I thought I got a shout then, didn't I? Boy, I thought I got a shout then. Yeah, the Bible entered into Judas. He went and betrayed Him with a kiss. And then there's one thing about being used by the devil. When he's done with you, you're done. He went and brought them coins, throw them in the temple, said, "I betrayed innocent blood." And them so-called caring Pharisees said, "What that to us?" Mm-hmm. See, to let you sell, he went hungry. Mm-hmm. But the devil's included in it on that plan.
That's right.
If he'd have known, Brother Ed, he'd have never allowed Jesus to make it to Calvary.
That's right.
And as he thought, "Woo, I got Him, Jesus, on the third day." Guess what you say, boy?
Yeah.
I'll take your keys.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Up from the grave He arose.
Amen.
Triumphant over His foes. He arose. He arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose.
Amen.
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 Contradictions. Today people contradict. They contradict and claim. Like I said, that guy said if there are more than two sexes, he said, "I'd like to have a dollar for every one there is." Mm-hmm. He said, "I'm convinced I'd have $2 and the rest of them would be counterfeits."
Amen.
Those contradictions. Stay focused on this right here.
That's right.
Jesus won the battle.
Yes.
He came not only seek and save, but He's even today seeking to save. Mm-hmm. He finished victorious. He gave us victory over death, hell, and the grave. That's what Paul thought.
talked about it in Corinthians chapter 15. Thanks be unto God to give with us the victory. We got the victory through Jesus.
That's right.
Amen. Thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord and Savior. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved, he said, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, I'm glad I got the victory. I'm glad, praise God, he's up there sitting at the right hand of God. Yeah. One day he's coming back. When he's coming back, I'm leaving out. And I tell you what, this world, they don't know what they're going to do when the light's gone, because light dispels darkness. And when the darkness prevails, there's not going to be no more light.
Right.
They're going to believe a lie. And they're going to be damned. Contradictions. Father, we thank you for this message today. Lord, I pray, God, today this message somehow would convince even the gainsayers today that apart from Jesus Christ, we have no hope, no help. We're in sin. But praise God, Lord, you took our offenses and nailed them to your cross. You took them to the grave and left them there. You took our iniquities and cast them as far as the east is from the west, never to remember no more against us, Lord. And Lord, I thank you, Father, not only that you did it, but you didn't do it in the corner. You done it before the whole world, that all the world may know. And yet, Lord, there are contradictions even today. Help, I pray, that sinner news tale. Help us even today to appreciate what you did. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. That was a short message, but I enjoyed it anyway. I'd like to ask everybody to stand like it, Brother Jared, please, and Sister Sharon.